Turn with me again to the book of the Revelation, chapter 1. First chapter of this last and solemn book. The revelation of Jesus Christ. He is the subject of it. Some people imagine it's all about prophetic happenings, but it's all about Christ in relationship to the future as well. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Now look at verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now shall we read in chapter 6? This has been called the last great prayer meeting of ungodly man. Verse 14. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now chapter 7. Look down, please. A great company is seen here, verse 9. And I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Verse 13, And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these, which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat, for the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, or be their shepherd, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Chapter 15. Verse 3, And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Now lastly, in chapter 21 again. Verse 23, And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Verse 25, And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations unto it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now the Lord will bless to us the reading with what has gone before. The last book in the Bible is the most solemn of all. It is the top stone. Every time that I read it, I understand that I have a special blessing, as our brother has tonight. Blessed is he that readeth. That's the public reading. And whenever we publicly read the book of the Revelation, we are always blessed of God, the public reading. And blessed are they that hear the word read. And sitting under the word tonight, if we were to say no more, even listening to what you have heard can bring blessing into your life under the sound of this solemn portion of the word of God. But blessed are they that keep the words of the prophecy of this book. We are living in a day when some are casting away the words of the book of the Revelation. That's not a new thing at all. Even Martin Luther, the great reformer, he said he put a large question mark over the inclusion of the book of the Revelation in the Holy Scriptures. And all down the age, men have objected to the plain teaching of the book of the Revelation. And they will say no one can understand it. But there are many things that are spoken here that are heart-searching. The most solemn book. And even we may not understand, none of us would confess to understand much of what is written. But yet we understand God's holiness, the wrath to come, and the only Savior. There's not another book in the Bible that speaks more of the Lord Jesus. There's another great theme that runs right through the Bible, and even before the Bible was written. It's an eternal theme. It's like eternity that we've been thinking about. And that is the theme of the Son of God being the Lamb. Peter tells us he was set apart before the foundation of the world, before a lamb, an animal lamb, was ever created. God's Lamb was there. And when time has run its course and every age has passed, there in the eternal glory beyond the kingdom, the Lamb will be supreme. The subject of the Lamb is a subject that runs right through the Word of God. But there is no book that emphasizes the Lamb more than the last book. Might interest you to know that in the epistles of the Apostle Paul, he refers in a way to the Lamb, but the Lamb is not mentioned in the epistles very much. But when we come to this last book, almost 30 times, 28 times at least, we read of the Lamb. The Lamb. The Lamb of God. Now I have chosen tonight to speak of four things in relationship to the Lamb. Four things that belong to the Lamb. And are exclusively His. The first one is the blood. I have read here in Revelation 7 that lovely expression, the blood of the Lamb. Don't read of that very often in the Bible, and I have underlined it years ago, the blood of the Lamb. And then I want to pass from Revelation 7 to chapter 15, and here we have read another very remarkable expression, the song of the Lamb. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. And then we have read again where our brother emphasized, and I want to use it and add to it perhaps a little more. And there we have read in chapter 21 of the book of the Lamb. It's called the Lamb's Book, or the Book of the Lamb. And then lastly, we're the most solemn of all, perhaps, in chapter 6, and we have the anger of the Lamb, the wrath of the Lamb. Who will be able to stand in the day of the wrath of the Lamb? And so here we have four things that pertain to the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb, the song of the Lamb, the book of the Lamb, and the wrath of the Lamb. Now, one of the great themes of the Bible is what is quoted in Hebrews chapter 9,
without the shedding of blood
is no forgiveness.
God would early teach in the Bible that no shelter, that no garment, that no provision could ever be apart from blood. In fact, the first blood that was ever shed in this world was shed in the garden. And it was God who shed that blood. And I believe it was likely a lamb that died in that garden, though we couldn't prove it. But there was an animal that died in that garden. And it died in order that the guilty pair might be clothed in garments of salvation, garments to stand the presence of God. So God early taught in the Bible the meaning of blood and the absolute necessity of blood shedding. Modernism hates the mention of the blood. And the sects and cults of Christendom deny the atonement. And in many places there's a strange silence on pulpits and platforms in relationship to the theme of the blood. The blood is never popular in the ears of man. And so we have bloodless gospels today. Gospels that are not the gospel of the Bible at all, when the blood is left out. And so running right through the Bible is the theme that apart from blood, there can be no forgiveness. That's the meaning of those altars in the desert as they moved along to the land, and the altars in the land. And the altars became larger as Calvary grew near. It's interesting that the altars that begin so small, when we come to Solomon's temple, it's a vast altar. And even although it was so big and so large, the largest of all items, as far as an altar was concerned, yet there were evil men that removed the altar. Men will go to great lengths to remove the altar and to take away anything that has to do with blood atonement. But as Calvary grew near, the altar became larger and more prominent in all the rituals of Israel. God was teaching, all the blood on those Jewish altars can never take away sin. But there is one coming, the Lamb of God. And so when he stood on the banks of Jordan, the Baptist pointing to him said, "Behold the Lamb! He has arrived. He is there on the banks of Jordan, and he's here to put away sin." Hebrews 9 tells us by the sacrifice of himself, he's here to shed his precious blood, the Lamb of God. And so in Calvary, the Lamb of God completely satisfied God and laid down his life, gave the supreme price, shed his precious blood. He suffered, bled, and died, and he's risen, exalted, a man in the glory, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now here we have a great company, and this is true of the heavenly company, or an earthly company, or any company, a great company that stand in the presence of God. What a vast company it will be when all the saints are gathered home. This is a vast company here, but we think of the vastness of the company that will gather home in the morning in the Lamb's bright hall of song. All gather home in the morning. Not one will be missing. They will come from every land. We used to sing, "From every kingdom of earth they come to swell their anthems high. Their harps will never be there unstrung. Will you be there and I?" That's the big question tonight, this Monday night. Will you be there? Or when the door is shut and the song of eternity has commenced, will you have missed it and the door is closed? My, how sad that would be. And as John stood there, the elders said, "What are these, and whence have they come?" And John said, "Sir, thou knowest to the angel." And the angel said, "These are they that have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." They had all different countries and cultures and colors and places and in time.
some from the first century, some before Christ was born, wherever they come from, of all nations and tribes and people and tongues, they have one thing in common. They stand before Jehovah's throne on the grounds of the precious blood of Christ. Ye must be born again or never enter heaven. There's only blood-washed ones are there. They're handsome and forgiven. I want to ask you, was there ever a day in your life when the blood of Christ became precious to your heart? When as you looked at Calvary and beheld the supreme sacrifice and gazed upon the blood? I love that old hymn. I hear the words of love. I gaze upon the blood. I see the mighty sacrifice and I have peace with God. Do you know anything about it? The blood of the Lamb. Soon as a person has entered into the experience of knowing the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin, and He stands cleared of every charge of guilt, one of the first things that takes place is this. There's a song rises out of his heart. I wasn't thinking about this at all. It just come to me now. And it was a young man in Ireland that got saved. And he worked in a public place. And the next day when he went down to work at the bench with others, he began to sing. And sing these lovely hymns that he had learned. There is a fountain filled with blood, so on. And the other workers got upset at his singing. And so they went to the foreman and they said, we don't like this boy singing all the time. And so the foreman came along and he said, you know, there's a time to sing and a time not to sing. In your services you can sing or at home, but when you're at your work we don't want you singing. So he was quiet, he didn't sing. But after a while he started to sing again. And the foreman came and he said, didn't we tell you weren't to sing? He says, it sings itself. It sings itself. You know, whenever you get saved, you learn the new song. Oh, I'm glad I learned the new song. First time I was ever at the assembly, I noticed on the hymn book it said, do not remove from your seat. First thing I did, I stole the brethren's hymn book. First time I was there. And when I got out, I sat down and looked at those lovely hymns I've always loved. And I began to sing them. I sang every hymn in the hymn book and made up tunes as I went along. And I enjoyed them, especially hymns about the blood and about the love that Jesus had for me. I loved those hymns from that day. Sometimes we used to sing long ago, do you love the hymns they taught you? Or are songs of earth your choice? It's one of the signs that you're born again, that you love to sing Jehovah's praise, and from your heart there wells up worship into His presence. Why, when we sit at the Lord's Supper, and a brother gives out, when I survey the wondrous cross, touches my heart every time I've sung it now so long, and yet as sweet as the days go by. We were singing on Lord's Day morning in Main Street there, concerning the day that we're going to see Him in glory. And we sang of those songs of praise and hymns of worship, psalms of everlasting praise, joy unbounded through the years of the days of eternity. What will it be like when we'll sing with unsinning heart and we'll all be in tune and we'll sing the song of the Lamb? This is not the Lamb singing. This is the song that has for its theme the Lamb to slaughter led. We'll sing of the Lamb. Oh, what a song it will be to join with the millions in the skies. And He will lead the singing. There in the midst will be the Lamb Himself. He'll raise His voice as He did when He left the upper room to go to Calvary. And He sang as He walked down out of that upper room on the way to the Kedron. And to Gethsemane, He sang, He's going to lead the singing, heaven. We'll be there. So praise. Wonder when the door is closed in that heavenly city, and we all gather home, and every tear is wiped away,
and sadness is past, and sin and sorrow is gone. In that city foursquare, in the land of fatalist day, lies the city foursquare. It will never pass away, and there is no night there. God shall wipe away all tears. There's no night there, thank God, and they count not time by years. For there is no night there. Will you be there? Would it be sad if you were to leave Woodland dry, these solemn meetings when others have entered? And maybe you're here with a profession, never really got to Christ. Maybe you haven't got the real thing, the right thing, the only thing. And God has spoken to your heart, and you're here tonight
without a Savior. Maybe a lad here without a Savior. A dear girl with many prayers, you're here tonight.
It's time, if you're going to be in heaven, you've got to get to the blood of the Lamb and begin to sing the song of the Lamb.
But the Lamb is a book.
The Lamb is a book. There are two great books in heaven, and I know at the judgment day there will be other books. The Bible will be there, I've no doubt. But there are two great books in heaven, and all our names appear in one of those two books. There's the book of the records.
My name was in that for many, many years, and all my sins were recorded.
How sad it is to think that every one of us have a record on high. All our sins written in God's book. And the Bible says in Psalm 50, I will set them in order before your eyes.
One day he's going to set all the sins of those whose names remain in the first book. They will have to answer for all their sins. Some people think they're only going to the lake of fire because they rejected Christ.
I want to tell you that's the damning sin, but you'll have to face punishment for all your sins as well. In totality, God requireth that which is past. I'm going to bring them up. Romans 2:16, God shall judge the secrets of men according to my gospel. The gospel preaches that there's judgment upon sin in the books. What a day that will be. That book, the records.
But you know, whenever a person gets saved, his name is deleted
from book number one. And the record is deleted. We used to say the old account was settled long ago. And there's a transfer. And our name
is written, as our brother said, on the night of our conversion in the Lamb's book. People have argued and talked about the difference between the book of life and the Lamb's book of life. It's all nonsense. Arguing like that. I believe the Lamb's Book of Life is the Book of Life. And the Lamb's Book is the record of everyone that has eternal life, whoever he may be.
Those that touch the hem of his garment. A sinner in some land that didn't understand as much as you understand. But everyone that received our Lord Jesus Christ by faith and believed that on the rugged cross at Calvary died in my place.
His name goes into the Lamb's Book of Life. It's not a church registry now.
It's not a deacon's roll. It's not you're a member of the choir or a communicant or even a member of an assembly. No, no. The Lamb's Book of Life, sinner, is the great record of all that are saved.
We used to sing an old hymn that went like this. Is my name written there?
On the page white and fair, tell me, Jesus the Savior, is my name written there?
We know people whose names are written there. The apostle said of his fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Do you know the thing that should give us the greatest joy tonight, those of us who are saved? Not that God has blessed us.
Even those disciples, when they came and they said the demons are subject to us,
You know what the Lord said? Rejoice not in that, but rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven. I'm glad tonight that my worthless name is inscribed in life's eternal book. 'Twas grace that gave us to the Lamb who all our sorrows took. 'Twas grace that wrote my name in life's eternal book. Is your name in the book of life?
And to quote a verse here, whosoever was not found written in the book of life.
Whosoever was not found written in the book of life. Not only does he miss the heavenly city, as our brother read, not that defile it, but those whose names are in the book of life will enter into the city. And that's a tremendous thing, to miss the city.
Woman waited behind, anxious, with tears in her eyes. I said, you want to be saved? Yes. Why? She said, I don't want to miss heaven. I want to be in heaven. Do you want to be in heaven?
I remember the day that I wanted to be in heaven. To give my right arm to know what the Christians, as I thought of Christians, I coveted to know what they knew. There were people on earth that actually knew they would be in heaven, and I didn't know it. I wanted to be there.
Terrible to miss heaven. Revelation 20 says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into a lake of fire. It's the strongest word in the New Testament. The word and text, the Greek text that we heard in Mark 9. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off.
If you're working at something with your hand, something that's taking you away, if your eye offend thee, something you're looking at, pluck it out.
It is better for thee to enter into life having one eye than to go into hell fire. And the word the Savior used, and he was the only one that used it except James on one occasion, the strongest word, the word he used was Gehenna. Gehenna's fire. Oh, I want to speak here solemnly tonight. Fear not them that kill the body and afterward of no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him that hath the power to destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. You're unsaved, you're going to Gehenna fire tonight.
I'm glad that our brother preached as he did, because I have preached it all my life. And I've been ridiculed.
And brethren even have objected to it.
And men tried to throw me down in days gone by, but I've always believed in a literal burning fire where sinners go.
One of the reasons I went to preach at all when I was a boy, I remember kneeling down and looking up over the hillside and over the mountains there where I was reared. And my father said, there's subsidies for young men like you that come back from the war. You could be a physician. You could be a lawyer. Why don't you study? I remember the night I bowed my knees at my bedside and I said to God, whatever talent I may have, whatever thou hast given, I spend my life to win souls from hell and the lake of fire. I believed it all my life. The sinners who die without Christ will perish in Gehenna fire, where their worm dieth not, and fire never shall be quenched. Think of a dear girl going into hell in her teens for all eternity. It's beyond human comprehension. If it wasn't in the book, we'd never preach it. Hardest thing to preach.
Every sect in Christendom denies eternal conscious punishment. Hope you're listening.
Annihilation, the larger hope,
and so on.
Bible knows nothing of it. It's either heaven or hell for all eternity. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life shall be cast into the lake of fire. Book is plain. Revelation 6 says, the wrath of the Lamb.
The great day of his wrath has come. Men are going to call on mountains to hide them and hills to fall upon them.
Hide me. Hide me. A man was dying in Ireland years ago. And he kept on repeating in his room, hide me. Hide me. And the nurse said, hide you from what? Do you know the answer? Hide me from God. Hide me from God. Friend, are you hiding place from an angry God? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God in your sins. God grant that you might come by way of Calvary tonight and have it settled this last Monday night that we will be here. Shall we pray?